Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. I want to thank those who make it possible, and that is JSD Protective Services. They are the 21st century security company. You can find them at jsdprotectiveservices.com. Warrior12.com. Warrior 12 is the Blue Lives t-shirt company. They've got some amazing shirts that you will just love. And then, of course, Blue Lives Matter. BlueLivesMatter.blue is our website for all the news and information about law enforcement. They make this show possible, and I appreciate them. You know, one of the things that is so important about policing is unity and camaraderie. And we're going to take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to tell you about a very special week. If you haven't figured it out already, I am the national spokesman for Blue Lives Matter. And the Blue Lives Matter website is where you want to go when you want information about everything about what's going on in the law enforcement world. BlueLivesMatter.blue. That's our website, BlueLivesMatter.blue. And that's where you can show your support to the American law enforcement officer for all your news and information about everything that's going on in law enforcement. The website that you want to go to is BlueLivesMatter.blue. And that is where the official website of Blue Lives Matter is. You will read articles written by cops and police supporters. You will find out everything that's going on in the law enforcement community. You can show your support by becoming a member of Blue Lives Matter. And there will always be additional opportunities and information that you will find entertaining and informative. BlueLivesMatter.blue. If your company needs security or your business, the person you want to talk to is Doug Carter of JSD Protective Services. That's jsdprotectiveservices.com. Go check out their website. Now, I'm really impressed with their operation. I've met their folks. I've met Doug and his commitment to the top training for these security officers is pretty impressive. These men and women that work for him are consummate security professionals, and they've got armed security. They do pretty much everything in the realm of security, which includes bodyguarding, private investigation, and they're all over the United States.
The Briefing Room, headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
This is a very special week in law enforcement. This week begins National Police Week. Now, for those of you that don't know, Police Week became a holiday, per se, back in John F. Kennedy's day. The President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, created the Police Memorial Week, and we have gathered at Washington, D.C., for a number of years, ever since the memorial was built, and that's been about 25 years now. The memorial, if you haven't seen it, is something to behold. It is in the middle of Washington, D.C. It has the names of every single law enforcement officer who has been killed in the line of duty engraved in the granite. It's basically hallowed ground for law enforcement. And this year, as in the years past, approximately 30 to 40,000 police officers will descend upon Washington, D.C. to honor the men and women of their profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty. And of course, last year we saw quite a spike in the murders of police officers. And each year during Police Week, the officers who were killed the previous year, their names are all uncovered during this particular ceremony. And it culminates with an amazing candlelight vigil that takes place at the memorial. It is amazingly touching to behold. It is extremely emotional. That's also something that is instilled with a great deal of pride and honor. And it's quite a sight to behold when you see thousands upon thousands of uniformed police officers in their dress uniforms. And they are standing at attention. They are kneeling by the names of their fallen friends. They are with the families. It is it's quite an emotional few days. I will be traveling to Washington. I will be speaking at the Concerns of Police Survivors presentation. And this is an amazing group of people. Started about 30 years ago when Susie Sawyer, who herself was a widow of a police officer, realized there was nothing that helped the families of police officers who have been killed in the line of duty to cope with this horrible loss. And she created it. Concerns of Police Survivors has been serving the surviving family members for years. And they do an unbelievable job. And I have been honored to have been asked to speak to them during the ceremonies. And I know one thing. It's going to be a very emotional time for me. The speech that I have written, I hope, has a great deal of impact on these people who have given so much and sacrificed so much. So if you're in Washington, D.C. for Police Week, I want you to come see me. I will be with Blue Lives in Tent City, and the tent that we are sharing with a excellent group called NAILS, and that's the National Association of Law Enforcement Supporters. We work together with them. And I will be there most of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you get a chance, come see me. So, Police Week coming up this week in Washington, D.C. In addition to that, of course, there will be local ceremonies in cities, towns, and counties all over the United States. This is the time when we honor those who have given their lives in the line of duty. Now, I've got to also tell you about something else. And it is along the same lines, and yet it's an injustice. I wrote about it on my Facebook page. I'm going to read you an article, and then I'm going to read something quite entirely different. This is an article from lawofficer.com. It was nearly 8 years ago, but Kirk Lawless, a former Florissant police officer, that's in Missouri, by the way, says he can still taste the smoke from his gun and smell the blood of the man he killed. "I can't tell you how many times I've relived that moment," said Lawless, age 57, of North St. Louis County. "I kill this guy in my mind over and over all day." Lawless had just begun an overnight shift in 2009 when he jumped on a call to back up a rookie cop responding to a home invasion. Within seconds, Lawless had shot and killed an 18-year-old coming toward him with a gun. It was the only time he shot anyone in his nearly 28-year career. Lawless received a Medal of Valor for killing the man and possibly saving the lives of the rookie and two people inside the house. But the shooting ultimately ended Lawless's police career because of the resulting post-traumatic stress diagnosis. Florissant fired him in 2012 over his inability to return to the streets. Well, now Lawless is fighting back in court against his former department, the city, and his ex-bosses. The disability discrimination suit he filed 4 years ago has gone to trial and been dismissed by the lower court. He is now appealing. He accuses them of denying him counseling or light duty after he disclosed his diagnosis, requiring him to use sick time instead of providing workers' compensation while in treatment, and then firing him. "Honest to God," he said, "I feel like I've been in prison since it happened." This, my friends, is one of the great injustices facing police officers all over this country, and there has to be something done about it. This is a disgrace. Post-traumatic stress injury is a byproduct of policing. to so many of those who serve. Now, before I jump on my soapbox about it, which you know how passionate I am, I want to read you a letter. This is the letter that Officer Lawless wrote, and I made it public, not using his name before because of the pending litigation. But this letter, I think, could have been written by any law enforcement officer who's been forced to take the life of someone else. And it is important that I read it. This is from former officer Kirk Lawless. A letter to the man I killed. Some people know this about me, others do not. I have killed a man. This is not a confession, it is just a fact. I have nothing to hide about it. I'm not ashamed of the fact. I have no regrets about doing it. I was doing my job. At the time of your death, I was a police officer, and you tried your best to kill me. I'm the police officer that killed you. I hope you were not long in your suffering, but as I am aware during the short time I spent with you, listening to your cries of agony and for mercy, the curses you spat at me, I endured as you bled to death. I endured. I hope you had a chance to reconcile with our Creator before you went, and that angels bore you away to a better place. I would have prayed with you had there been time, but there was not, so I could only pray for you. And occasionally I still do. People who choose a path like the one you chose probably don't weigh into the equation the most dreadful consequences of their actions. I weighed it into my own equation every day as a police officer. I have experience with death. In fact, death and I are quite intimate with each other. You have your death. I died a physical death once, albeit briefly, but I was brought back. I wondered for what? A specific event? Your death? I never really feared a physical death. When I came back, that lack of fear was reaffirmed. I suppose that made me infinitely more dangerous as an adversary, more so than someone merely chest-thumping with a nothing-to-lose attitude at the risk of sounding cliché. I took your life. I get that. But still, you took something from me, and you changed me forever. I have been a hunter most of my life, including a hunter of armed men. What Hemingway said about the hunting of armed men and liking it is true. You never really care for anything else thereafter. I hunt animals still, but often do not pull the trigger. Perhaps in time this will change. Killing a man is nothing to take lightly. It changes you. It changes what people think about you. You aren't the same person anymore. And still, I love life. I revel in the beauty of it, both the simplicities and the intricacies of it. I appreciate life. This solitary act does not define me. It doesn't even scratch the surface. People who do not know talk about it as that it was no big deal. But I will tell you, it is a huge deal. Get over it. Put it behind you. Try not to think about it. Which are all great thoughts. Were it that easy, who wouldn't? It doesn't work that way. Perhaps people would begin to understand the gravity of it, were they to see a police officer choking on the barrel of their own gun trying to turn it off, or writing about it with the muzzle of a gun pressed against their temple. Some succumb to the haunting despair. I will not. To the contrary, I consider it a visit from an old enemy. I sometimes welcome the nightmares, the gore, and the violence to let it know it will never best me. The outcome is the same. At its base, I live. Whatever attacks me does not. They fail. I survive. When I awaken from my sleep, if you can call it that, dripping slick with sweat, heart pounding, I am still alive. I get to relive our event every day since it happened. Not because I want to. I have no choice. It just comes calling whenever it feels like it. No warning. It just intrudes multiple times a day. What triggers it? Everything. And nothing at all. I'm always expecting the unexpected, always aware. I have a heightened tactical plan to kill everyone I meet. Only a police officer or soldier would understand that. It is not paranoia. I am situationally aware, even in my dreams. realistically, there is always a target on my back. But that's what I signed up for when I pinned on the badge. This is just part of what it is to be a police officer. Walt Whitman said, if you done it, it ain't bragging. But if you haven't done it, things I have done, your opinion, armchair quarterbacking, and constant shuffling of the what if deck really doesn't mean shit to me. Still, my adversary, I admire your tenacity. It was a fair fight for the most part. Well, you cheated a little. But still, it was a fight to the death. Your death. But I don't hate you, truth be told. I just feel sorry for you. Oddly, I have not shed one tear for you. And I have cried many times during my career. My lamentation over the loss of my favorite bird dog was loud, tearful, and long-lasting. Maybe because he was a true friend, and you were just what you were, my enemy. And that changes everything. You made fatal mistakes, young and invincible, tough guy, full of bravado, whether false or real. You had choices, you made poor ones. I was already committed when I climbed out of my patrol car and stood on the asphalt. Perhaps you just hesitated, or maybe you were just too slow. The latter is obvious fact. Everything else is merely speculation. I would like to thank you for some things, like looking over my shoulder for the rest of my life and for cutting my career 13 years short. Thanks for helping me see that my department was totally incapable of handling the shooting investigation and subsequent homicide investigation. It perfectly illustrated the creed, a false friend is more dangerous than a known enemy. It was a real eye-opener. After many years on the job, to realize that incompetent supervisors and politicians have no hesitation to hang a target on the back of a good police officer for doing his job and doing it well. I wonder how many other officers have had their civil rights violated by their own department during post-shooting investigation fiascos. Police officers have rights too. Please keep that in mind. While my career was cut short, I'm thankful I would never again at that agency, have to endure shoddy procedures and listen about my, quote, other options, unquote, in a justified deadly force scenario from cowards and idiots. Nor will I have to worry about being returned to the front lines as soon as possible without a chance to decompress, nor worry that a modicum of protection be afforded my family, who has suffered greatly at their hands. I remember visiting the scene of the shooting on the first anniversary of your death, not knowing what I would find there. What I found there was absolutely nothing to mark the occasion. There was, however, a small token of remembrance there when I left. That struck me as very sad. The only one who bothered to pay their respects was the one who put you in the ground. Were I able, I would sit down and share a drink with you and a fine meal. I would do so before I broke bread with some of my so-called brothers or the politicians from my town, who are so quick to feed us to the wolves. I mean that with the very fiber of my soul, you were a worthy adversary. I thank you for bringing a real gun to a real gunfight. I thank you for turning your attention to me and leaving the younger officer alone. I thank you for the baggage that keeps me in a perpetual state of being physically and mentally worn out. Perhaps I'll see you on the other side if you reconciled and the angels came to take you away to heaven that early summer morning. If so, maybe we can have that drink and share a meal. If not, you made another bad choice, infinitely worse than the first, and I'll never see you again. With sincerity, the police officer that killed you. That's a powerful, powerful letter, and demonstrates what an individual goes through when they are forced to take the life of another human being. I pray that that officer gets the recompense that he deserves from that city, and that the politicians and the alleged police supervisors and administrators who left him hanging out to dry, I hope they get what's coming to him. I'm Randy Sutton, your host on Blue Lives Radio. And this is my view from the blue. If this was television and you could see me right now, you know that I'd be wearing a Warrior 12 t-shirt. And you're asking yourself, what the hell is a Warrior 12 t-shirt? That is, unless you've been listening to this show for a while. Then you would know that they are the coolest police t-shirts around. Warrior 12 is the clothing line for Blue Lives Matter. So we got the Blue Lives Matter t-shirts. We have all kinds of other different logos and sayings on them, and they are very, very cool. So go to warrior12.com. That's warrior12.com. You could check out the entire line and wear some pretty cool shirts.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome to the interview room at Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. I have a special guest today, Coach JC. And Coach JC has a very unique offer that he's doing for law enforcement officers. And it's about mental health, physical health, emotional health, and something we can all use. Coach JC, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio.
Absolutely, Randy. First of all, I am absolutely honored that you would have me. So thank you for the opportunity to be on with you today and your listeners.
Well, you know what? It's you come highly recommended. when I read about your offer of $100,000 worth of scholarships for Fit First Responders on my friend's news site LawOfficer.com, I had to reach out to you and A, thank you, and B, help you get the word out because what you're doing is something really important for our American law enforcement and first responders.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Randy, let's jump in right there because, you know, we are super excited and honored that we were able to do what we did. And, you know, if you're listening right now, obviously your listeners are probably familiar with the Houston tragedy where the Houston sergeant, you know, took his life just about a month ago. And, you know, when I heard that news, I was absolutely saddened. And, you know, I just want to rewind really quick as we dive in today, because I'll never forget, you know, I was driving up to the headquarters in Tulsa, Oklahoma last summer, and I got a text message on my phone, and it said, Coach JC, did you hear the news? And I said, no. I responded back with a text, no. And this individual said, I need to call you. And I remember it's about 5:15 in the morning, 5:40. I don't remember exact time, but it was early. We're getting ready to kick off 7 different groups, over 46, you know, different agencies, over 500 first responders come out to our headquarters every day. And we're super excited, you know, like normal days. And he said, man, I need to call you. And I remember I said, call me right away. I picked up the phone. And one of our very own Tulsa police officers back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at our headquarters, went on to tell me that day in the summer, that one of our very brothers in blue took his life that day. Randy, I'll never forget that day. It was different. I sat in my truck as I sat outside the facility, and, you know, a Jersey boy is supposed to be tough, man, but I weeped. And I sat there on the phone with this individual. I said, how does this happen? How does one of our finest, our heroes, take his life? And that individual was not part of FIT First Responders and FFR Online. And I remember that day contemplating, Randy, what was I to say? I'm usually not lost for words, but what was I to say when I walked in the facility that day over 500 first responders? I remember when I walked in, Randy, I was greeted by that same individual, one of our police officers, and he looked at me and he got teary-eyed and we hugged it out. And he said, Coach, man, I know that if this young man was in this program, FFROnline.tv or FIT First Responders, that he'd be alive today. And I got to tell you, Randy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'll never forget that day when I stood up in front of over 500 first responders and made the oath that I promised that I would take responsibility of that. And I said, you know, I'm going to do my part and I'm going to do our best at our nonprofit, FIT First Responders, to assure that every first responder out there, every hero, every first responder at least has the opportunity to be their best and be part of our program. And that's where we've been since that time in the summer, just on a relentless mission, you know, obsessively just getting the word out there to help those first responders and assure that they are fit for duty, yes, but just as important that they're fit for life. So when we heard the tragedy out of Houston PD, we just fell in our heart, man. We prayed about it, thought about it, that we just wanted to donate a lifetime membership to everybody in that Houston Police Department with a lifetime membership to FFROnline.tv, Randy.
Well, let's get right into that, Coach. You know, well, first of all, so that my listeners know just who the hell you are, tell a little bit about you've had a very successful career doing coaching, athletics, and give a little background so that my listeners know just who you are, what you've accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up on the streets of Jersey. I grew up with a single mom, but had big goals and dreams at a young age to go on and play professional basketball or to be a professional rapper. Now, I am the shortest, I'm the lightest cat out there, but with hard work, man, I was able to get out of New Jersey and end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with big goals and dreams and ambitions to play basketball. And I went out to a school called Oral Roberts University. Man, Randy, it was at that time where I made one choice that would radically change my life. There was a hot girl on campus. She was the hottest girl, actually. All the dudes are chasing her, and guess who was lucky enough to land her? Coach JC. And I'll tell you what, Randy, it was at that time, this young girl at 19 years old, out here on my own in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I threw away a basketball opportunity when she gets pregnant, and I had to decide that I was going to go to work and try to make ends meet to be a father. I was in the fight of my life. And I'll never forget, I ended up in a 600-square-foot apartment, face down, contemplating myself if I was going to go on with life. And it was at that time that I did some strategic things, and I turned what looked like a loss into a win. You know, I'm blessed and privileged to be a dad today and be happily married. And, you know, but I look back and I did a few things that pulled myself out of that downtime. And I put together a system that allowed me to go on and be fortunate and blessed enough to become one of the youngest strength and conditioning coaches in the nation at the Division I level and train some of the top athletes in the world, from the NBA to Major League Baseball to Olympians to NFL. And, you know, I've been blessed and privileged to work with athletes of all calibers, professionals speak all over our nation to, yes, our heroes and churches and corporations, but there's nothing cooler that I get to do on an every single day basis than be the executive director. And now I've been kind of labeled as the coach, the performance coach, the life coach, the strength and conditioning coach, whatever you want to call it, to a lot of our nation's finest and bravest agencies out there, our law enforcement, our fire, National Guard. Now we serve over 46 agencies. So I'm absolutely honored and privileged, Randy, to do what I do.
So you, right now you've got 46 agencies that are participating in some of your programs. You know, I have both law enforcement audience, but plenty of people that support the American law enforcement officer are also listening to this. And it sounds to me like, well, first of all, you've got your FIT First Responders program. But it sounds like you've got other programs for something to seem normal people, just out of lack of a better term, but for others as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're helping everybody from the 7-year-old athlete that has big goals and dreams to play at the next level, to the professional athlete, to the stay-at-home mom, to entrepreneurs out there, to businessmen and women, to stay-at-home moms. We have programs for everybody, and it goes from fitness through the mental conditioning, the personal development. So yeah, we have programs for everybody. But FFR, Fit First Responders, is the nonprofit side of stuff where we're serving exclusively our first responders.
Yeah, listen, so we're going to get right into that. We're going to talk about that right now. You know, tell us a little bit about what you have developed, why it is so important for not just the physical health, but for emotional and mental well-being as well.
Well, absolutely, Randy. You know, and you mentioned earlier, I'm not in law enforcement. I'm a coach. I've been blessed and privileged to work with a lot of people from all walks of life. And one of the things that I discovered and realized is that we have a problem going right on right now in our nation when it comes to our first responders. And here's the problem. The problem is that we have a lot of first responders showing up to the job every single day, showing up to the fire stations, if it's EMSA, on the paramedic side of things, National Guard, and law enforcement, showing up, and we are providing them as agencies. We are the best in the United States of America. We provide them the best when it comes to being the best tactically at what they do. But I believe where we're missing it, Randy, is we're not developing the human being. And here's what I mean by that. What good is it if we have a cop show up every single day, put the badge on, and he can go out and do his job, but he's losing in life? Divorce is at an all-time high. Suicide's at an all-time high. Heart attacks are at an all-time high. Obesity has an all-time. We have first responders, these individuals, if you're listening right now, you're our heroes. You are the finest and the bravest. You are the hometown military that put your life on the line every single day, and you deserve to be your best. But Randy, we have a problem. There's too many first responders that are broken in life. They're losing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in their relationships. So I pose that question to the agencies I go into all the time. And it's not the agency's fault. It's not the union's fault. You know, they know what they know how to do, and people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why Fit First Responders was created. It was created to say, you know what? Not only are we going to develop the great cop, but we're going to develop the great human being, and we're going to help them not only be fit for duty, but be fit for life and win off the job. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me, because there is, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a strong correlation between physical fitness and mental acuity and emotional stability. And that's they are all linked to being part of the whole person.
Absolutely.
How does I'm Joe Blow, and I've got 15 years on the job. I haven't been in good shape for 7 or 8 years because I'm a little lazy now, and I drink too much beer, and I'm not too happy right now with the way things are going. Tell me how I would get involved and better myself with your program.
Absolutely, Randy. It's so simple. Our headquarters, like I mentioned earlier, is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And what we took over a 2-year period with the Tulsa police and fire medics is we beta tested and put together a program online now. So we have FFROnline.tv where we're streaming it live. So that first responder that you just expressed, you know, that's been on the job and now may come up short and say, you know what? I lost the zeal. I lost the fire, the ambition, man. I might be addicted, or I'm trying to wash away my sorrows, or I'm just not where I need to be. Maybe it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We built one community of first responders. It's not just law enforcement. It's first responders, because I believe that 9/11 changed all of that. So we built a community where we could work as a team. You log on, all right? Again, this is a nonprofit. We go out and fundraise to put this on, and all we do is have the first responder log on. They go through performance testing right there online, wherever they're at their agency, at their house, at the gym. And then we have professionals on there to help them. We have strength and conditioning coaches, experts at the best physical conditioning. We have licensed therapists and counselors. We have dietitians. We have physical therapists. We have chaplains. We have chiropractors. And every single day, Randy, this first responder can log on their phone or on a PC computer, and they can get the workout of the day. They can get the mental conditioning key of the day to train your mindset. They can talk to the chiropractor, the dietitian, physical therapist. We're providing everything, a one-stop shop, for the first responder to be fit for duty, because that is a problem as well. We have a lot of first responders that are showing up to the job every single day, but are not physically and mentally ready to do the job. And then on the flip side, everything you need to be fit for life, the personal development curriculum and program for that first responder to be their best off the job as well.
That sounds really interesting. Now, tell me some of you've got 46 agencies that you're dealing with. Is that agencies themselves that have that are sending their people, or are these individuals who are members of those agencies?
Man, it's pretty cool. It's a mixture. A lot, you know, I think the coolest part about it is predominantly it's individuals from agencies that found us online. Their friend might have got a transformation and posted something on Facebook. But we have a lot of agencies now that are calling on us to say, hey, we see what you're doing, and we would love for you to come out and speak to our squad meetings, and we would love our agency to use FFROnline.tv as their corporate wellness program. And some of them, it's just saving money. You know, we have some cities spending and FOPs and unions spending an astronomical amount on workers' comp and insurance, and they're saying, man, if FFROnline.tv could help us produce a healthier first responder, we could save a lot of money on the job. So we have agencies that bring us in to help incorporate the program and utilize us for that. But we also have a lot of individuals from different agencies that log in as well. So that number of 46 agencies is mixed, but that's like police, law enforcement, of course, county, FBI, Homeland Security, fire, you know, all the different first responding agencies out there.
You know, of course, because everybody enters a program like this at different levels in their life. Some are have a basic fitness level, and some, you know, have really let themselves go over a period of time, and it's more difficult for them to you know, catch up and start getting in shape. How do you take everybody who's at a different level and train them so that they are all receiving the maximum benefit?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when it comes to the actual physical training, we have a tier system online that we utilize where we have the very beginner level. And, you know, that's for the guy that says, I haven't worked out in 30 years. I don't know what I'm doing in a weight room. I have no clue. You know, and then we have the middle intermediate level, and then we have an advanced level. So when it comes to the physical fitness side of stuff, we are providing a program for all fitness levels and all abilities. When it comes to the other tools, you know what? We start everybody the same. When it comes to the mental conditioning, we're going to start by asking you simple questions about what you want, why you want it, help you recreating that fire and finding that identity and significance and purpose in life. So really, when you talk about catering different levels, Randy, that's just for the fitness side of stuff. And we have that provided on our live streaming right there at FFROnline.tv, Randy.
When people work out, where do they actually do the workouts? I know that if I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I could come to you, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's pretty cool. We have so great question. We have obviously in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the first responders show up right here at our headquarters. But we get videos every day of first responders working out at parks, working out at their fire station, their police academy, working out at their house. And the program that we built it so that it's for any fitness level, but it's workouts you could do anywhere, anytime. So you don't need crazy equipment. You don't need a trainer. You just log on. You see the workout. You follow us alongside of us. And you'll actually see some of the first responders in Tulsa working out alongside of you. And you could pick the fitness level. You could hit pause. You could rewind. You could stop it. So we have first responders working out everywhere in parks, at departments, at their house, at the gym. It doesn't really matter. Anywhere, anytime these workouts are designed for.
Okay, well, I think I get it. I think I get it. So let me ask you this. When it comes down to the other parts of health, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, what are you What's your ideas regarding those?
Man, Randy, I love to tell you my ideas, but I would love to tell you over the last 2 years when we beta tested it in Tulsa, we found a few things that have become common denominators. And one of those things is the job has taken a toll on the first responder. You have a first responder that gets out of the academy. They got this fire, this dream, these ambitions, and something happens in their life, just like I expressed earlier in my own life. We all have a story that we create for our life. But what happens when you get punched in the face, when you get kicked in the sack? What happens and what do you do? So I pose this question because I hear it all the time, Randy, and first responders say, the goal at the end of the night, Coach JC, is to go home to my family. And I always pause, Randy, and there's a first responder listening right now that's their goal. Their goal at the end of the night is to say, I want to get out of there alive and go home to my family. But let me ask you this. Once you get home, then what? Many first responders are bringing their job-related situations and issues and what they see, the post-traumatic stress of the job, they're bringing it home and starting to affect their families and the life outside the job. So what good is it, like I said earlier, if we have a department filled with heroes, and from the outside it looks like we're winning, but many members of our team, our heroes, our first responders, suicide, heart attacks, depression, discouragement, hopelessness, broken marriages, addictions, you know, fatherless children, and the goals and dreams are left on the table. To me, that's unacceptable, and that is why this program was created, to develop the human being who are first responders. So to answer your question, it's very simple. A lot of these individuals need a winning team to be on, and that's the community. FFROnline.tv, the power of it is the community. It's like-minded individuals coming together and saying, you know what? I can't talk to the counselor, the therapist that the city provides, or I can't go to the station and tell somebody I'm not doing good in my marriage. They might laugh at me, or what are they going to think of me? It's a safe community of first responders, and then the mental conditioning. Those two keys are the game changer, Randy. Just like you train your body, you train your mind. And you can have anything you want in life when you condition your mind. And so many times we're directed by what we think, and our thought life all of a sudden consumes and dictates our attitude, which creates our actions, and all of a sudden we wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, I ended up here, and I look in the mirror, and I'm fat, I'm out of shape, I'm not the dad I want to be, I'm not the cop I want to be. So we believe that our program comes down to two things. There's a lot of fitness programs out there, there's a lot of nutrition, but we believe the community of like-minded individuals for fit first responders only is a game changer. And then the mental conditioning, the blueprint game plan to train your mindset to be your best, to discover who you are, your purpose, your significance, and your identity in being who you are first, then a first responder. So it's the community and the mental conditioning program that absolutely over the last 2 years has radically changed lives and have saved lives of our first responders.
You know, I like what you're saying here, because one of the unfortunate ramifications of certainly the law enforcement job is a certain feeling of aloneness in the feelings that people get from being subjected to a constant diet of violence and being a firsthand witness to all the cruelty that people are capable of doing to one another. It has an emotional effect. It can wear you down, not just physically, but it can wear you down emotionally. And so having a community where you know that you are sharing those experiences, I think can be very, very powerful.
Yeah, it's an absolute game changer, Randy. I mean, we've had first responders that have logged on and they've gone through a week to 2 weeks, and then they would open up to us and send an email or post on the forum and say, hey, man, I trust you guys. I like this program. Man, can I talk to somebody? And all of a sudden, exactly what you just said is a very big common denominator. For years, they try to just keep it in and deal with it internally, and all of a sudden it builds up, and you're trying to wash it away with addictions or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you have a community where you could say, you know what? man, I've been drowning. I've just been waiting for somebody to rescue me. You're telling me there's other people that deal with what I deal with, and I can talk to them now, and I could be real, and I'm not going to be judged, but I'm going to be accepted. And, you know, Fit First Responders is a place of unconditional love and acceptance. And I think a lot of cops, especially in the beginning, they're scared by that. You know, you mentioned our good friend Travis Yates. He first came into our program of LawOfficer.com, and he's like, man, what the heck is this? You guys want to talk about feelings and emotions? And then he went through the program, and he actually endorsed my book and said, I've never seen a program in my entire life, in 22 years of a law enforcement officer, that has changed more lives. Because we address those things. We address the feelings and the emotions, and we challenge them. Well, if you're feeling that way, Randy, why are you feeling that way? Let's challenge them. Let's see if there's some truth to them. And then once we are aware of the situation, then we can fix it. So what you said is absolutely crucial. The community of first responders is absolutely amazing, and it's a game changer for these first responders to have a place they can come, a safe haven, and not feel like they might lose their job or be judged or whatever it may be. So that's a game changer, Randy.
Yeah, I want to ask you something about that. Have you found that you're getting good support from law enforcement leaders in some of these agencies?
You know, yes and no. I would say it's mixed. I got to be real. I mean, in the beginning, you know, I was an outsider. And obviously, I'm not law enforcement. So I think, obviously, it takes time to build a relationship. So we had to start off dating and really you know,
had to start off dating.
and we did, you know, and I get that, you know. But I think, you know, now it's starting to catch on. And I think a lot of agencies, Randy, that we've spoke to, they don't know what to do. So a lot of times, human nature is if you don't know what to do, what do, Randy? You do nothing.
Nothing, exactly.
And they wait for a suicide to happen, and then they get proactive. And I think now they're starting to say, you know what, let's set our pride aside. Let's realize we don't know what to do, and that's okay. And if you're a chief listening right now or a major and you don't know what to do, it's okay. Bring in the experts that do and allow us to do what we do and what we're great at. So I think that's always going to be an uphill battle, Randy. But I think as agencies start to hear more success stories from other agencies and first responders, obviously trust is built. And they're starting to see that this is a nonprofit and we go out and fundraise and we're not going anywhere. And this is our mission and our vision. So in the beginning we did, but I'm starting to see that those barriers are starting to be broken down, and now unions and agencies are inviting me in and our team to speak and really speaking to the lives of their first responders, which I am grateful and humbled, absolutely humbled for.
You know, one of the benefits that is sometimes overlooked, there are a certain number of police agencies that I've been aware of that provide fitness opportunities for their police officers while they're working. And that was very, very radical thinking. But those that have embraced that philosophy have seen workers' compensation claims go down. They have seen esprit de corps go up. And a lot of benefits that you wouldn't actually think about simply from fitness, you know, fitness-related activities. But have you had any leaders that have come forward and wanted to bring your program in to an on-duty scenario?
Absolutely. And what you just said is crucial. I mean, from an economical perspective, you know, for the city reaps an amazing benefit when you take care of your first responders. And we beta tested this, like I said earlier, in Tulsa. We just met with the mayor, actually, of Tulsa today, again, and we have a great relationship because the administration is starting to say, you know what, this is beneficial. The unions are starting to say, wait, hold on a second, this is beneficial, and the agencies. And in a lot of cities, those three entities do not work together. And
right.
In Tulsa, we spent $28 million on workers' comp in 1 year. Tulsa Fire spent $4 million. Tulsa Police spent $2 million. Those numbers are public record. So we came in, and all of a sudden, we're helping save hundreds of thousands of dollars per agency, millions of dollars overall. If that's all you're looking at, the numbers and what we've done to cut down on workers' comp and claims and health insurance, it's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer. And now agencies are saying, hey, for 10 years, Coach JC, we've been trying to do this. We've been banging our head against the wall. We don't know what to do. Our numbers are astronomical. Please guide us and steer us. So a lot of times we'll consult agencies through the nonprofit. We might come in and fly out there and help them implement the actual program in its fullness, or we might just consult them in what to do. But we're here to serve, and there's a lot of agencies. Majority of agencies are spending way too much money on workers' comp and insurance, and they don't know how to stop the bleeding. And that's one of the things that we've been able to do in Tulsa that's been very beneficial.
That's awesome. I want to we're running out of time, but I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on to Blue Lives Radio, but more importantly, for your commitment to law enforcement. And and you know, you made that incredible offer of $100,000 in scholarships for law enforcement officers. So how can my listeners get in touch with you and join your program or help out?
Absolutely, Randy. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm humbled and grateful to serve. And basically, we have two different websites. If there's people listening out there and they say, hey, I would love to help further this mission and assure that our finest and bravest with it throughout our nation are fit for duty and fit for life, then they could go to fitfirstresponders.org. That is the nonprofit website. It talks about our mission and the problem and the solution. And then for the first responder, still part of the nonprofit, for them, what we talked about earlier, the online program is FFROnline.tv. When they go over there, Randy, obviously we donated lifetime memberships to the Houston PD. If any other first responder goes over there, they will see that there's a 20-day free trial. And then after that, if they want to give a donation of $20 a month for all the expertise that I spoke about earlier, great. If not, they can get on there for free. It's a nonprofit, and we're going to continue to do what we do. And that's FFROnline.tv.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time today, Coach JC, and we'll be talking to you in the future about your efforts. Thanks again.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
End of watch.
This week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, in the segment we call End of Watch, where we honor those law enforcement officers who have given their lives in the line of duty, this week I have two names to read. Deputy Sheriff Jimmy Tennyson of the Maury County Sheriff's Department in Tennessee. Deputy Sheriff Jimmy Tennyson succumbed to injuries sustained in a single vehicle crash the previous morning at approximately 7:30 a.m. He was en route to a local high school where his patrol car left the roadway on Iron Bridge Road near Running Deer Drive in Columbia. The vehicle went down an embankment, struck a group of trees. He was transported to a local hospital before being transferred to Vanderbilt University Medical Center, but he succumbed to his injuries on May 6, 2017. He had served in law enforcement for 30 years and was assigned as a school resource officer. He is survived by his wife, children, and grandchildren. Deputy Sheriff Jimmy Tennyson, end of watch.
Saturday, May 6, 2017. The second officer to die in the line of duty this week is Police Officer Jonathan Ginka of the Northern Shores Police Department in Michigan. Police Officer John Ginka was killed in a single vehicle crash on Henry Street, south of Ross Road, shortly after 2:30 a.m. His patrol SUV left the roadway and struck a tree, causing extensive damage. He was extricated from the vehicle and transported to a local hospital, where he succumbed to his injuries a short time later. He had served with the Norton Shores Police Department for 10 years. He survived by his wife and two children. Police Officer Jonathan Ginka, Norton Shores Police Department, Michigan. End of watch, Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. May they rest in peace. I want to thank you so much for tuning into this week's Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you not only enjoyed the interview, but the view from the blue. I think there was some important stuff there today. And also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you can find me on my website page. That is Randy Sutton, Public Figure. I love to hear from you guys. It's always a pleasure to connect with some of my listeners. And if you haven't read any of my books, well, come on. Go to Amazon, Amazon.com, and just throw my name in there, Randy Sutton. You'll find True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them. You'll find A Cop's Life. You'll find True Blue to Protect and Serve. And pretty soon you might find another one there, too. So, check out my books. And thanks again for stopping by Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. See you next week.